Thanks so much, and it's a real pleasure to be here. These are my disclosures. So when you think about in NAFLD, the increase in free fatty acids essentially derived from two main sources, peripheral lipolysis, as well as increased de novo lipogenesis. These free fatty acids are normally metabolized by healthy mitochondria or esterified to form triglycerides. However, if those pathways are overwhelmed, you have increased lipotoxic lipids resulting in lipotoxicity, ER stress, oxidative stress, dysregulation of autophagic pathways, which we're going to spend some time talking about it, the promotion of apoptotic pathways, which promote liver injury, inflammation, and ultimately NAFLD fibrosis progression. Now, there are a number of factors that result in dysregulated lipid metabolism in NAFLD. We know about environmental factors, our high-fat, high-fructose diet, sedentary lifestyle, metabolic factors such as insulin resistance, type 2 diabetes, obesity, dyslipidemia, and of course genetic factors like PNPLA3 or HSD17B13. And all of these factors together result in increased visceral adiposity, resulting in the delivery of increased free fatty acids from peripheral lipolysis to the liver. At the same time, that high-fat diet and high-fructose diet result in increased de novo lipogenesis. And as I said, normally the fate of these free fatty acids in the liver is to undergo oxidation by mitochondria or esterification to form triglycerides. However, when that system is overwhelmed, that surplus of free fatty acids causes triglycerides to be stored as lipid droplets and partially released to the circulation as LDL, the generation of lipotoxic lipid species, and this failure of beta oxidation and mitochondrial dysfunction ultimately resulting in the generation of reactive oxygen species causing cell injury, leading to inflammation and fibrosis. And as we heard, fibrosis is the most important determinant of liver-related outcomes. So what does thyroid hormone signaling have to do with this? Well, we know that thyroid hormone, or prohormone T4, and the active hormone T3 is synthesized by the thyroid gland. So the hypothalamus produces thyroid-releasing hormone, which then acts on the pituitary to release TSH, and then the thyroid produces the prohormone T4 and the active hormone T3. Low thyroid hormone, represented by low T4 and high serum TSH levels, cause symptoms of fatigue, weight gain, and feeling cold. Interestingly, population studies have shown associations between NAFLD and overt hypothyroidism, subclinical hypothyroidism, and even low thyroid hormone in the normal range. And in fact, in one study, patients who had a TSH less than 1.7 had a lower prevalence of NAFLD, and patients with higher baseline TSH levels and no evidence of liver disease were more likely to develop NAFLD. In addition, the top-ranked gene set downregulated in human fatty liver are T3-regulated genes, and acute and chronic systemic inflammation are associated with low intrahepatic thyroid hormone levels. So resistance to thyroid hormone is a syndrome of reduced responsiveness of target tissues to thyroid hormone. And interestingly, patients who are resistant to thyroid hormone beta have increased liver fat as assessed by CAP using transient elastography, as was mentioned by Professor Schattenberg, compared to their unaffected family members. Even when you control for BMI, insulin resistance, these people are on a small island and therefore exposed to similar environmental factors. There are two primary isoforms of thyroid hormone receptors that mediate the physiologic effects of thyroid hormone, and they're both widely expressed. However, thyroid hormone alpha is predominantly expressed in the heart, brain, and bone. And when we think of the typical effects of thyrotoxicosis or thyroid hormone excess, we think of tachycardia, high output heart failure, or osteopenia. Thyroid hormone beta is predominantly expressed in the liver, the kidney, and the pituitary gland, is responsible for effects on metabolism, and plays a crucial role in the liver, including activation of liver fat oxidation, which we're going to spend some time talking about. Importantly, the liver is the only organ where thyroid hormone beta is expressed higher than thyroid hormone alpha. So autophagy is a really important mechanism in a cell that controls lipid catabolism. Autophagy is the trafficking of cytoplasmic materials, whether it be lipids, glycogen, or proteins for lysosomal degradation. It really serves as a very important housekeeping function. In terms of lipophagy, excess lipid droplets are targeted for lysosomal degradation and then release free fatty acids, which, as we discussed, are normally oxidized by the mitochondria or are sequestered into the TCA cycle. In terms of mitophagy, damaged mitochondria that perhaps have been overworked and are tired now are targeted to the lysosome for degradation, allowing for new mitochondria to proliferate. Now, thyroid hormone induces autophagy in a hepatoma cell line. Here you see that addition of thyroid hormone to HepG2 cells induces the expression of LC3, which is a key protein involved in autophagocyte formation. And you can see that this occurs in both a time and dose-dependent manner, shown here by both Western blot as well as by confocal microscopy. In addition, electron microscopy is showing the double membrane lipid droplets inside autolysosomes reflecting lipophagy. Similarly, electron micrographs show here induction of mitophagy by thyroid hormone in mouse primary hepatocytes. So how about thyroid hormone pathway? What potential role does that play in hepatic lipid metabolism? Thyroid hormone beta is important for increasing lipophagy. So there are more lipid droplets being degraded with the release of free fatty acids, allowing for their use in beta oxidation by the mitochondria. At the same time, thyroid hormone beta is important for promoting mitophagy to eliminate defective and tired mitochondria, and also stimulates mitochondrial biogenesis so that there can be new fresh mitochondria, replenishment of the factory, if you will, to deal with the increased influx of free fatty acids. This in turn reduces reactive oxygen species and inflammation. In addition, thyroid hormone is important for the upregulation of LDL receptors on hepatocytes and therefore is important for increasing cholesterol clearance and therefore decreases apolipoprotein B and reduced serum levels of VLDL. So how might thyroid hormone dysregulation play a role in NASH? In the normal liver, the prohormone T4 is converted to active T3 by the activity of deiodinase 1. There is some deiodinase 3 activity that converts that prohormone to reverse T3, which is inactive. However, in chronic liver injury, there's a relative upregulation of deiodinase 3, so essentially that prohormone is being diverted to the inactive reverse T3 form, and less is being converted into T3 or active form. Thus, there is a relative intrahepatic hypothyroidism. Therefore, this local intrahepatic hypothyroidism that is observed during chronic liver injury is caused by 1, depressed conversion of that prohormone T4 to active T3, and in fact, the decrease in the ratio of T3 to reverse T3 is a marker of intrahepatic hypothyroidism and downregulation of that pathway. This depressed thyroid hormone signaling in the liver sets up a vicious cycle, leading to the accumulation of inflammatory fat, hepatocyte injury, inflammation, and ultimately fibrosis. Now, interestingly, Thyroxine treatment does not improve this deficiency. And in fact, patients with NASH treated with thyroxine have more exaggerated elevations in reverse T3 and reductions in free T3 to reverse T3, suggesting that there are other genes that are upregulated by the thyroid hormone beta pathway that are important for lipid homeostasis, as well as the fact that it hasn't overcome the relative enzyme deficiency in DIO1 versus DIO3 in chronic liver injury. So in summary, NASH is exacerbated by lipotoxicity due to intrahepatic hypothyroidism. There is decreased lipophagy and decreased beta oxidation, resulting in the accumulation of fat droplets and lipotoxic lipid species. There is accumulation of unhealthy mitochondria and a lack of mitochondrial biogenesis, resulting ultimately in the accumulation of reactive oxygen species, causing metabolic dysfunction, cell damage, and inflammation. There's obviously accumulation as well of these lipotoxic lipids such as ceramides. In addition, due to the decreased upregulation of LDL receptors on hepatocytes, you also have reduced cholesterol clearance, resulting in increased serum LDL and VLDL, increased apolipoprotein B, and increased serum VLDL. And so clearly, there is a clear application for thyroid hormone beta modulation in NASH. By modulating the thyroid hormone receptor beta pathway, we can look forward to favorable effects on lipid metabolism, reduction in LDL, ApoB, and other atherogenic lipoproteins, while eliminating or mitigating the off-target effects through thyroid hormone alpha, such as arrhythmias, increased heart rate, and decreased bone mineral density. And so with that, I'm going to pass it back over to my colleague, Professor Trauner, who's going to summarize.